Yeah. 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 What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio, Late Night Creep Style. We're live, in effect. Today's show is brought to you by iujama.com. That's a new black business directory with free and paid listing plans. Start now. Sign up with their free online listing plan and list your black business right now, either physical or online. Need more listings for multiple businesses? They have a paid plan that will be perfect for you. Go to iujama.com. That's iujama.com, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're doing the late night thing. We're going to chop up some very good game on today's broadcast, on tonight's broadcast, because it's pretty late in some cities. I'm going to need y'all to hit that thumbs up button. I need you to hit that like button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit that subscribe button, because we're going to get deep tonight. We're going to talk about some heavy stuff. Condolences to the godfather of the black music industry, Brother Clarence Avon. His wife was unjustly and untimely murdered. We got to get into that. I mean, we got to really unpack this thing, family. We got to unpack this. But before we do, let me take another quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. It won't be too long. While everybody's piling on in, retweet, repost on Facebook. Let everybody know that we're live right now. And you all, please don't move a muscle, because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed, available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack, and the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
So I just got this Naughty Bear in the mail, and oh, how so cute it is. It came in the nicest box with satin flower petals. The bear smells so good and has an adorable teasing saying on its sweater. It also included a wearable Naughty Bear pin as a reminder, if you know what I mean. And the spiciest Bar Sutra booklet of, let's just say, happy positions to try. It's so naughty and adorable. If you have a sexy someone who you want to send one of these to, go to thenaughtybear.com.
Do you have a small business, or you want to start your own business, or do you need business development? If so, you need to holler at my guy, Junius James, at Junius James Incorporated. He has a nonprofit organization in Milwaukee that specializes in empowering the black community. With 17 years as a vice president in corporate America and 11 years in staffing agency ownership, he has developed various programs that will help you right now. Visit juniusjames.org, that's juniusjames.org, or call 1-855-JUNIUS-JAMES, that's 855-586-4875. Our children are influenced by many things in this world, and music is one of them. If you're worried about your children listening to music that promotes sex, drugs, and violence, then introduce them to Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that combines hip-hop and cartoons to teach children math, science, and language arts, and much, much more. Gifted and Lit also has an amazing new home workout program called Gifted and Fit. This program combines social, emotional, learning, and physical fitness to help families get in shape together. Order right now and use the coupon code Tariq to save 10% off on your next order. Go to giftedandlit.com right now and join the movement. Bro, stop.
Ready, ain't no love in the street. Cup of Sprite straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogunjuice.com. If they thinking you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground. So you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogunjuice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, the evil on alert. Yeah.
You are now tuned in to the incredible, to the legendary Tariq Nasheed. On Tariq Radio.
Please wear your mask.
I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. I was having some technical difficulties. Shit. This was like an AM station from the 70s for a minute. Y'all heard that static in there? All right, we good. That was some static going on just all of a sudden. I don't know what that was. Nigga, it sounded like I was broadcasting on another planet. It was some... Yeah, I don't know what that was. That buzz just came out of nowhere. I had a little versus, a little Teddy Riley moment. Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but I have to nip that in the bud for next week. I don't want y'all to be sitting up here listening to me and there's all this static and all of these crazy sounds. I don't know what that was. I don't know what happened. Was it them folks trying to bug a player? Were they tapping my internet? What was that? Yeah, that just threw me off. That came out of nowhere. And I'm kind of twiddling and diddling on wires. I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to have to get some spray or see what's going on here. But yeah, I'm here, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Hey, so we got, family, we got to get the trolls out of the comment section, ladies and gentlemen. We have a couple of people in the comment section just trolling around. And if I have my moderators in here, I need y'all to handle that, please. If you may. If you can handle that, that would just be peachy. And by the way, family, I got to thank everybody for getting my brand new book, Foundational Black American Race Beta, on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's. It's doing great on Amazon. And also thank everybody for getting that holiday package. We sent everybody's packages out. We sent the last ones out today. So everybody's packages are out. We got a great system at our facility now where we get these things knocked out very quickly. Back in the day, we used to get these big orders in and it would just take us weeks and weeks and weeks because we would get all backed up. And the way we were doing it, we would have to kind of write everything out. So we got another system where we can knock all these things out within a couple of days. Everybody, we get like thousands of orders out within a few days. And we did very great. I'm glad to have everything out. So everybody who ordered that holiday package, you should have your package within the next couple of days if you don't have it already. And again, I have to thank and I appreciate everybody who got that special holiday package. Shout out to the family who got that, ladies and gentlemen. Also, if you want to get the Foundational Black American Race Beta book, it would be best to go to my social media and then click the link on that. Because sometimes, you know how... Amazon, they try to do the shadow ban thing, which they're doing it now. You know, when my stuff starts popping a little bit too heavy, they make it so that you can't search for it. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. Let me show y'all something. Let me show y'all something real quick. Let me show you the game that they play right here on Amazon. I'm gonna go to Amazon right now and kind of show you guys how this thing gets down. Hold on. Let me click over here real quick and forgive the audio if the audio might be a little janky. Let me turn this one down for 1 second. Hold on. Bam. All right. Now look at this. Now this is Amazon. Let me type in Foundational Okay, it comes up. All right, it already comes up because a lot of people looking for it. Oh, there it is. Okay, fine. Okay, it came up this time. Okay, because I just did it and it didn't come up. Okay, so we here. And bam, number one new release in African history. All right, so we doing big things here. Number one new release in African history, ladies and gentlemen. So if you don't have your book, y'all need to go to Amazon right now and get your copy. Or if you want an autographed copy, we have not the packages no more. We've sold out of the packages. The package deal is over. But if you do want a hard copy that's autographed, you can get that at officialfba.com. Officialfba.com. And the autographed copies of the book, those will be collector's items, ladies and gentlemen. Those will be collector's items. I've signed a ton of those books. They're ready to ship out with my personal signature. You can have a piece of history, ladies and gentlemen, by getting your signed copy of the book. Very good book, by the way. People in the chat room, if you have your book already, because some of you have your book already, if you have the book already, raise a hand in the chat room. I'm looking at this thing right now. If you have the book already, all my people in the chat room, raise your hand if you have the book, Foundational Black American Race Baiter, in the, if you have it already. And yes, somebody made a good point. NFTs, yes. If you have an autographed copy of the book, ladies and gentlemen, you can put those on the market as NFTs. The NFT thing is real big right now. And authentic items go for a lot of money. You see? I'm kind of giving people an alley-oop right here. Yeah, this is a... This book is not like all the autograph ones. You can sell those as NFTs, ladies and gentlemen. People are talking about the verses. I didn't see the verses. Well, I saw a little piece where I think Busy Bone was about to get in a fight with somebody with 3-6 Mafia, so I didn't get a chance to see the verses with Bone, Thugs, and Harmony between 3-6 Mafia. But I'll check that out later. I'll give it a check out later. But anyway, let's get on with the conversation, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get on with the conversation. Now, listen, we got to talk about what's going on with our brother Clarence Avon and the situation that happened with him and his wife. Now, Clarence Avon, for those who don't know, this is a, if you're looking at the picture of the screen right now, Clarence Avon, longtime music mogul, executive, power player in the music industry. They call him the Black Godfather of the music industry. Our brother Clarence Avant is very well respected, extremely well respected brother. Here's a picture of him with Jay-Z and Diddy. I mean, he has mentored so many people in the industry. And for those who don't know, there was a situation where there was supposed to be a home invasion where some dusty nigga broke into our brother Clarence Avant's Beverly Hills home, a very exclusive neighborhood in Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills is already exclusive enough, but this is exclusive within an exclusive area of Beverly Hills. And this person who broke in shot and killed our brother Clarence Avant's wife. And my condolences go out to him. My condolences go out to the family. Their son, Clarence Avant's son, he follows me on Instagram. Shout out to that brother. Good family, good people. Nothing bad to say about this brother or his family at all. And again, when I talk about this story, I want to be as respectful as possible. We just want to talk about it from an investigative standpoint. We just kind of want to look at this thing from different angles and really see what's going on here. Because some things aren't adding up. There's a lot of things being thrown around. We got to look at the big context and the bigger picture of this thing and just kind of figure out what went wrong. We got to kind of figure out what went wrong here. And we have to look at it from different angles. So the narrative that they're giving us, that this was just a home invasion, and it was some dusty Negro that did it. A lot of people ain't really buying that, and there's some investigators who are not even buying that narrative. Now, somebody mentioned in the chat room, there are a lot of robberies, home invasions. There's a lot of stuff going on in Los Angeles right now. A lot of crimes going on, a lot of brazen crimes going on right now. We have to even question that, ladies and gentlemen. We have to question these brazen crimes. Why are they going on? And I explained this before, my last broadcast talking about the flash mob thing. I want people to understand that a lot of times in these cities where people are, there's an anti-police sentiment, the police will not only allow crimes, they will orchestrate certain crimes to happen so that people will start begging for them to come to the rescue. Now, let's be very clear. Police, generally, they don't stop crime. You know, they get millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they cost cities millions and millions and millions of dollars. They cost taxpayers a lot of money, especially here in LA and other cities where they have open white supremacist groups not only joining law enforcement, but in many cases, especially out here, I think it's mandatory that some of these LA sheriffs become white supremacists. This is what a lot of people are saying. People are like, they've gone way beyond just infiltrating law enforcement. It's a requirement. It's an unwritten rule that requires you to be a part of one of the white supremacist deputy gangs out here in law enforcement. You understand? But listen. Yeah, there's, you know, niggas out here creeping. Niggas is hungry out here. We get that. But when you start seeing a real strange uptick and the media is really blowing it up and promoting it, we got to see who's really behind this stuff. Is the police orchestrating this? Now, the LA sheriff, the head of the LA Sheriff Department, Villalueva, whatever his name is, Villalueva, he did a press conference, and I want y'all to listen to how he was speaking. He was using a lot of these little racial code words and using a lot of scare tactics for the public, condemning people for defunding them. Now, I want y'all to listen to this. See, this is what, this goes into what I was telling people, how they sit here and orchestrate a lot of stuff that goes on as far as these brazen crimes that pop up. Let me find that link real quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. One, here it is right here. This is what I want to show you, brothers and sisters. Now take a listen to this here. Hold on one second. I want y'all to listen to this right here. This is Villanueva, head of the LA Sheriff's Department. All right, the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. Hold on, here he is. Hold on.
In the transit safety, this is all about reimagining public safety. This is part of this trend, which has kind of been a failed experiment throughout the nation with defunding, reimagining, only to find out that crime skyrockets in the absence of law enforcement. So the current model, and this is their own chart, you see law enforcement, they're flipping the pyramid upside down, and now the transit ambassadors, who are not law enforcement, will be the main source of providing an illusion of security. I have to underline the term illusion of security there. Okay, go ahead. Now, these are the Public Safety Advisory Committee appointed by the Metro Board. And here are their names, but if you look at the little brief description of each person, you can see themes here. Marginalized, racial justice, progress, alliance for community trust, equity lens, equitable outcomes, economic equity, racial equity, creative director, police misconduct, homeless committee chair. You go through the whole list, where is the representation of just an average rider who wants to get safely from point A to point B? Where's the representation of people that are actually information from a taxpayer, how their money is being spent? They're not represented in this advisory committee. This is the definition of a woke advisory group. And of course, what was the recommendation? Let's get rid of all cops.
All right. You catch the little code words he tried to throw out there? Yeah, this is the definition of a woke advisory board. And their recommendation is to get rid of all cops. So he's throwing out all the little racial code words, guys. He threw out all the little racial code words. Yeah, in the absence of police, crime is going to go up. Now, hey, if you want us to save you from all of these niggers out here robbing and stealing, I mean, you're going to want to have to refund us. You shouldn't be so woke. Oh, he's using all the racial code words. You understand what I'm saying? So let me tell y'all something. And this guy's rotten to the core. The LA County Sheriff's Department, these people are rotten to the core. Family, everybody in LA knows these people, they have card-carrying deputy gangs with tattoos and all. So these are not people speaking in good faith. We ain't just throwing out conspiracies. We know for a fact that they have white supremacist gangs within law enforcement. So if these people are that low down and dirty to do that, what else do you put past them? What else would they not do? What won't they do? You think it's beneath them to orchestrate crime so that they can get funding? Family, law enforcement out here in Los Angeles in particular, even around the nation, but out here, they're infamous for being rotten to the core. Chris Dorner, who was on the force, they were so corrupt. That brother had to go on a shooting spree. That brother said, hey, man, I've been in the belly of the beast. These people are so corrupt. They're beyond repair. Family, they're so corrupt. The only solution is, man, we got to take up arms, dude. We got to start taking them out. That was his conclusion. That's how corrupt that system is. Where a brother said, hey, man, we got to pick up them things and just go for it. We just got to put our lives on the line against this type of corruption. It's too damn deep to reform. And don't even get me on Chicago. You understand? So I'm putting everything in context here. So when we see a lot of these crimes, these brazen crimes, understand that a lot of times law enforcement is actually behind the crimes. So let's go back to the situation with our good brother Clarence Avant and his precious wife who died. And that's horrible that a sister, 80-year-old sister, lived her whole life and then somebody runs up in her house and kills her. Now let's look at the particulars of this story. Some things are weird. Why would some random dusty nigga run up to that particular house? All the houses in Beverly Hills, and he just happens to run up to the black person's house. You skip over all of those people's homes and just target that one in particular. You understand? Now, a lot of people are saying this looks like a targeted hit. That's what it smells like, but we want to know who orchestrated it. Who was behind it? We have to ask a lot of questions here. We got to ask a lot of questions here. Now, what they said, the suspect, and let me pull up an article about this situation. They said the suspect, hold on, and let me show the suspect. Here's the suspect here, hold on. They said the suspect, basically, and this is a mugshot of the suspect, a dude named Ariel Maynor. They said basically he robbed their house, killed her, and then he went to another house to rob it, but he accidentally shot himself in the foot. He had an AR-15. He ran up in Clarence Avant's house in Beverly Hills, and they got security. The dude shot at security, from what I understand, but security didn't fire back. The security at Clarence Avant's place, he didn't fire back. I'm looking right here. It says, Clarence, where she died, a security guard was also on the property at the time. Okay. So the security guard didn't shoot back. And let me show y'all something else that's very interesting. Yeah, somebody said he looked non-FBA. This dude, yeah, he does look non-FBA, to be honest. This dude looked like he could possibly be Belizean or something like that. The suspect. This is how a lot of those Belizean cats look like out here in LA. A lot of them have this look. When you see cats who look like this, a lot of these dudes are actually Belizean out here in LA. All right? A lot of dudes in LA are actually Belizean, and they look just like this. So we don't know what's up with this dude's background. And from what I understand, this dude is a Piru. This is what I'm hearing on the streets. This dude is a Piru, from what I understand. So it's very interesting. It's very convenient to just kind of throw it to, okay, it was a gangbanger home invasion. That's a little bit too convenient for me. That narrative is just too convenient. You know, I still have questions. Like, for example, hold on one second. Hold on. Like, this is the house right here. Now, as you see, ladies and gentlemen, this is the house. As you see, the glass was broken from the inside. Okay. Just an observation. Now, there could be several scenarios. Maybe he broke in one way and broke out the other way. Usually how a person breaks in, they break out the same way. I don't know. But as you see here, this is a shot of the house and the window. It was broken from the inside to the outside. So why didn't the burglar just leave out the same way he came in? I mean, we have to ask questions like this. We have to ask questions like this. Was this security guard in on it? Was it a setup? Was it an inside job? Who was the security guard? You understand? How did this nigga know how to go up in this house and skip past security alarms? I'm pretty sure they got security alarms, gates, or whatever. How did this dude know how to do all that in this exclusive neighborhood? And listen, what they said again, they said that he broke into another house and they caught him because he broke into the other house and shot himself in the foot with that AR-15. Let me talk to my gun people for a minute. Boy, don't those AR-15s pack a little punch on them? Those AR-15s pack a little punch, don't they? Talk to me for a minute, family. You know, I know a little bit about guns, but my AR-15 people, don't those AR-15s pack kind of a hefty kick to them? And the dude, allegedly, they said he shot himself in the foot. And this is the dude right here. They taken him out in a stretcher. And all they have, they got a little bandage around his foot. Dude, don't you know an AR-15 will take your whole foot off? Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Well, won't that AR-15 take your foot off? And he's sitting there kind of calm, and he got hit in the foot with an AR-15, and they just wrapped it up. Nigga, your foot would be dangling off your ankle, right? I don't know. I don't know. I just got to ask questions here. I just got to ask some questions here. So, you know, just got to. And now we got to ask some more questions. So now this dude was supposed to be sophisticated enough to go into this exclusive neighborhood, hop over fences, go through security, break into a house with a security guard there and commit a brazen murder, but then go to another house and he becomes the Keystone Caper. He shoots himself in the foot like a bumbling idiot. So either he's a bumbling idiot or he's a master thief, sleuth, Ocean's 11 type of dude. You understand? Something ain't adding up. I don't know, man. We just have to take all this stuff in and just kind of look and see what's going on. What's going on here? We got to see what's going on here. Now, hold on. I don't want no echo here. Our good brother, Clarence Avon. Like I said, well respected. This is the godfather of the industry. Loved by everybody. Now, who would want to do this to our brother Clarence Avon. Who would want to do this? We got to look at, you know, we got to look at the situation here. Now, this brother was just, I think he just got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He just got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was just inducted into that. So he was getting a lot of his flowers lately. They did a documentary on him on Netflix. His daughter is married to the CEO of Netflix, a white man. His daughter is married to her. So he's clicked in with some pretty powerful people. But look, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. We got to look at all possibilities here. Could this be a situation, hell, that LAPD organized, orchestrated? Hell, they needed to get a big brazen murder under their belt to say, hey, look, this is how dangerous crime is with these Negroes. They're killing famous black people. Because, look, it's nothing for them to get a dusty nigga like, you know, the shitty cuz types, just like they did with Nipsey's killer. It's nothing for them to get one of these dusty niggas, coked out niggas, drug addict niggas. You can get them to do anything. Let me tell you something. If you get drug addicts, a lot of snitches and informants and little dusty hitmen and all that, a lot of them be drug addicts. A lot of them be drug addicts. You can get a drug addict to do anything, dude. Nigga, if you want to hit, you're going to have to go break into these people's houses. We need you to handle this business. Who knows? We have to ask questions. I know some people are saying blood sacrifice. I know people are taking it to different levels. Some people saying this could have been a blood sacrifice, which, you know, stuff like that does happen. I don't want to put the tinfoil koofy on. So we have to look at it from all angles. Was there foul play in this case? Now, let's look into our brother Clarence. And I say this respectfully. This is not to disparage our brother Clarence, but I want y'all to understand Clarence Avon is very connected. In fact, Clarence Avon was brought into the entertainment industry by a white man named Joe Glazier. Joe Glazier was a white Jewish man, actually, who was heavily associated with the mafia. Joe Glazier was an old school mafia associate. I'm talking about Joe Glazier was clicked in with Al Capone. That's how old school this guy was. Joe Glazier died in the late 60s, I think around 69. He was born in the 1800s, so he was in that first wave. I mean, he was an old school guy, but he was the one who brought Clarence Avon into the industry. He was the one, he was Clarence Avon's mentor. He brought him into the game. You understand? And this guy was heavily mafia influenced, heavily mafia clicked in with the mafia heavy. And Joe Glazier, let me find a picture of Joe Glazier. Hold on one second. Let me show y'all. And Joe Glazier got into the industry because he was managing a lot of black artists, especially Louis Armstrong. He was managing Louis Armstrong. So Joe Glazier made a lot of money. That's Joe Glazier and Louis Armstrong. So Joe Glazier made a lot of money managing black acts. See, the thing is, he got rich off black acts, which a lot of those guys did back then. A lot of those, remember, the music industry back then was heavily mafia controlled. And remember, when black people wanted to kind of do their own thing, these mafia folks would get them hit. They would knock them off. Sam Cooke, for many years, people believe that Sam Cooke was knocked off because they were warning Sam about starting his own business. So these entertainment execs from the 50s and 60s, they were all mafia clicked up, man. They were clicked in with the mafia. And at that time, a lot of black folks stopped trusting them. A lot of black folks started, hey, I can't really rock with this dude. Now, let's go to Joe Glazier. Now, not only was Joe Glazier, you know, a mafia-connected music exec and music manager, he was also into boxing, too. And that was another big thing that mafia people and mafia associates were into. They were into the boxing industry, and they would rig boxing. This guy that you're looking at, Joe Glazier, he was known for rigging fights, which a lot of them did. Joe Glazier would rig fights. He would rig boxing matches. And that was a big thing with the mafia and the mafia associates, especially in the 60s. They would get fighters and, you know, go to them and say, hey, you better take a dive or your mom is going to go missing. They would do that type of stuff. And let me tell you something. They tried to do that with Muhammad Ali. That's one of the reasons why Muhammad Ali, I believe, he joined the Nation of Islam, because he got protected by the Nation of Islam. They weren't going to do that fix fight nonsense with Ali. Ali was the biggest thing in the 60s. So, you know, the mafia was really trying to get at them, at brother Muhammad Ali. But let me tell you something. When Muhammad Ali got with the Nation of Islam, brother Elijah Muhammad shut all that bullshit down. Elijah Muhammad let the mafia know, all that little shakedown stuff you do, that ain't gonna happen over here. And they weren't about to try to play games with the Nation of Islam. I want people to understand, in the 1960s, the Nation of Islam really wasn't no damn joke. And the mafia knew that. They weren't about to go up against Elijah Muhammad and those guys. They were with the shit for real, for real. You understand? So they backed off. They didn't want them problems. Elijah Muhammad, they were out there in Chicago too. Like, yeah, you in Chicago, we in Chicago too. And we got the streets on lock out here in Chicago. So y'all better go on somewhere with that nonsense. You're not about to mess with Muhammad Ali at all. Yeah, the nation backed them all the way up. They knew better. But a lot of these guys, these execs, they would rig fights and they would rip off black music artists in particular. We've all heard all the stories about all of these black artists who sold all these records and they ended up broke. They didn't get no publishing and all that. So a lot of black artists, they stopped trusting these shady execs. Like people like James Brown. Shout out to our brother James Brown. Very thorough brother. James didn't trust none of them. So James started talking about ownership. It was in the late 60s, James and Sam Cooke and Otis Redding and all of these black folks in the music industry, they were talking about ownership, ownership. We got to own our own stuff. We got to own. Because these white execs, they keep robbing us. We have to own something. So the white executives, what they would do, especially Glazier, they would get people like Clarence Avon. They had Clarence Avon act as a liaison to kind of comfort a lot of these black artists. They would get Clarence Avon to, you know, let artists, the black artists know, hey, man, I'm gonna look out for you. He would be the liaison between the white execs and the black artists. And that doesn't mean to say that our brother Clarence Avon was deceptive, because from what I understand, he always looked out for the black artists. He actually did good business with them. So he played the game straight and narrow. He played the game straight and narrow from what I understand. He always made sure that black artists weren't going to get screwed. He's like, yeah, I'm working for these execs over here. I'm kind of the liaison. Yeah, I do work for them, but I'm going to make sure you're good. I'm going to make sure that you get your publishing. I'm going to make sure you get your paper. I'm going to make sure you're good. And for shit, 50, however many years he's been in the industry, he has always done good business. You understand? But that's just the relationship. So let's unpack that. So our brother was clicked in with these mafia types. Did that have anything to do with anything? I mean, you know, remember, these mafia types are still around. Just because Joe Glazier's not here no more, a lot of the mafia types, I mean, these crime families, they still exist. So was there something that Clarence Avant didn't do? I don't think he owed money, but was he supposed to do something or not do something? Or was he supposed to do a favor he didn't act upon? You know, they make little examples out of folks. You know, if you don't do what they tell you to do, if they did you a favor and you don't do them a favor, you know, they'll send a message to you. You understand? So we got to ask questions here. We got to see what's going on here. Yeah, they hold grudges. Hey, these people hold grudges. Maybe It was something he did 20 years ago. And they're like, hey, we didn't forget. Who knows? But I just don't believe that some random dusty nigga, some raggedy random gangbanger just happened to pick that house and run up in the house with the windows bursted from the inside out and committed this brazen murder just as a robbery. What did he get out of the house? You know, what did you get? What did he get out of the house? What did he take? Yeah, something ain't right here. So somebody was sending a message. Was the LA Sheriff Department sending a message? Were mafia people sending a message? Were political people sending a message? Because remember, our brother Clarence has clicked in with a lot of politicians. He's clicked in with Bill Clinton and Obama. He's really clicked in with those Democratic top brass people. So what's up with them? Does Clarence know something? Hey, look, right now they got Ghislaine Maxwell on trial right now, and people are naming names as far as these politicians hopping on those Epstein planes. You see, a lot of names are popping up, guys. Come on, now let's look at all of it here. Right now, a lot of politicians' names are coming up. All these people that was going back and forth on that Epstein plane, them names are popping up left and right now. A lot of political people. And people are getting subpoenaed right now. You feel what I'm saying? Let's look at it from different. I'm looking at it from another angle now. So now people are getting subpoenaed. Ghislaine Maxwell, we don't know what she's going to start talking about. She's on trial now. That woman might get to singing. She might get to snitching. She might get to talking about Democratic politicians and what they did and what they didn't do. And is Clarence, are they going to call him as a witness? Because he clearly knows stuff. He's been around these people for a long time. So does he know some things he ain't supposed to know? And they're sending him a message like, hey, man, if they send you a subpoena, and look, I know you clicked in with Clinton and all these. And remember, Jeff Epstein, at Jeff Epstein's house, he has a picture of Bill Clinton in a dress. And we showed that in the movie Buck Breaking. We showed that picture in the movie Buck Breaking. There's a picture of Bill Clinton in a dress at Epstein's house. So Bill Clinton and all those guys was clicked in with Epstein and all these people, and Clarence Avon is very much clicked in with the Clintons. So did somebody send a message like, hey man, just in case they subpoena you, you better keep your mouth shut? You feel me? Yeah, they're naming Trump, whole bunch of folks. Yeah. Did they name Chris Tucker? Somebody said they named Chris Tucker. He was on the plane. So they're throwing a bunch of names every day, guys. A bunch of names are coming out. Every day, a bunch of names are coming out who's connected with this trial. So we have to look at it from that angle. Also, we have to look at it from all angles, ladies and gentlemen. But I suspect there is foul play here. But again, my condolences go to our brother Clarence Avon and his family, because this is a horrible thing. Yeah. Somebody said I got to be careful. Yeah, I'm just theorizing, guys. I don't want to get in a situation where I got to start capping on somebody trying to run up on my ass. Yeah, you understand? So I'm just throwing some things out there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm throwing some things out there. Some things to think about, family. We have to look at this thing from every angle. But a lot of other stuff going on that I want to touch on. Speaking of music industry, the singer Ari Lennox, the lovely sister Ari Lennox, and I like Ari's music. I like Ari's music. I like Ari's voice. I like the way she gets down. But Ari, she said some things that were kind of questionable before about black men. You know, some people get in their feelings. I don't know. She said some things before that were kind of interesting about black men and whoop-de-whoop. But there was a situation where where did she go? She was over in Amsterdam, I think. I think she went over there to Amsterdam. And there was a situation, I think she got arrested. Hold on, she got arrested and she said it was racist treatment over there. Hold on. This is the link. Let me show y'all the link. She went over there and she got arrested and cited racism. I'm being arrested in Amsterdam for reacting to a woman who racially profiled me, the singer tweeted Monday. American R&B singer Ari Lennox was arrested in Amsterdam at the airport for disturbing public order. And she said she accused them of hating black people. Okay, so we don't know the details of what happened. So she's claiming racism. Okay, that's cool. That is cool that she's citing racism. You know, like, hey, guys, come support me. I'm dealing with some racism. Come on, support me, guys. Y'all got to get on the bandwagon. Everybody get on board. But I don't know. Yeah, I remember Ari put up a tweet. She had a song called, I'm writing a song called Wish You Weren't a Hotep. Okay, she had a song. Somebody made a meme here. Yeah, she had a song called Wish You Weren't a Hotep. So I would speak out against her getting racially profiled, but I don't want to seem Hotep-ish, though. I don't want you to write a song about me, Ari, you know? And if I spoke out against racism, that would make me the kind of Hotep that you sing about. So I don't know. I don't know if I should really speak out against what happened because, you know, that would be Hotep-ish because that's what Hoteps do. But, you know, hold your own ovaries. You know, good luck to you. You know, good luck to you. See, y'all want to play this game and, you know, call niggas Hotep and all that old stuff. But when the shit goes down, it's like, hey, where's those black men's to protect me? You know, I need strong black men's to come help me. And speaking of that, what's that Professor Kronk who the white media always wheels out to do her anti-black family rants? She put up a tweet, that Brittany Cooper lady. We don't need traditional nuclear families for black thriving. As one raised by my mother, grandmother, and aunts, I can attest. We should support families however they are configured to provide basic needs and loving and safe environments. That's what being pro-black family means. No, it don't. Okay, these are people right here that white people prop up and credential, ladies and gentlemen. They credential this nonsense. They credential this poison. We need nuclear black families. See, the white supremacists are always coming in to black society and sicking their Negro minions and mammies on us to tell us we don't need to be a traditional black family. We don't need to have a nuclear black family. We absolutely need that in order for us to thrive. This is why I promote that so much with my own family. I try to walk it like I talk it. Man, it's so very important that a black man and a black woman are together raising their black children together. That is very important so that those children can be well balanced, so that we can have well balanced, beautiful black children. Yeah, single parents can do it. That don't mean you should do it. Yeah, there's some people who will thrive in spite of being a part of the nuclear family, but we don't want to have these in spite of type of relationships and upbringings out here. Yeah, I made it in spite of living in the project eating government cheese. Yeah, I made it in spite of being in an abusive relationship with my mama's stud girlfriend. We don't need in spite of relationships. We need clearly nurturing relationships from the beginning. It has to go in being nurtured. We have to look at the black family as a manufacturing factory where we manufacture assets to the community. Because when we don't, we get dusty niggas running up in folks' cribs in the middle of the night shooting. I can almost guarantee those type of dusty niggas did not come from a nuclear family. Let's stop the games, man. And remember, they had all that stuff on the official Black Lives Matter website where they were talking about destroying the Western-inspired nuclear family. Oh, man. These people were just admitting that they were having an all-out attack on black families. So we got to watch the game these people play, man. We have to watch the game these people play, and we have to not go for it, ladies and gentlemen. But a lot of other stuff going on. Speaking of black families, Sandra Bullock. She did an interview, and she was talking about raising her black son. She was talking about raising her black son, Lewis, and her son, the black son, Lewis. I hope, I'm just waiting to see him coming out switching one day. I'm just waiting to see him coming out as non-binary. Whenever these white people raise these black kids, the black kids, they never come out just heterosexual, going into a regular heterosexual relationship. It's always something different. So I don't know what's going to happen with this child. But a lot of people are praising her for speaking somewhat against racism. They inviting her to the barbecue because she talked about how she talks to her black son about wearing a hoodie. Now, I want y'all to listen to this narrative right here. Listen to this. Hold on one second. Listen to this. Hold on.
I have a beautiful black son. It's at the age of 6. He popped on a hoodie, and I was like, we're going to have a conversation. It's different for you than it is. And I said, what does it look like you're doing with the hoodie? And he says, well, I look like I'm hiding. Do you have anything to hide? He said, no. I said, then you don't need to wear it like that outside. I said, people are scared and will react to you differently than if you were a white boy. And he knows it. I let them see everything. I let them hear and know everything, see it all. I don't care if it scares them, because it's my job to let them know that outside of these safe walls that things are different, but they know how safe they are in my house. And it's a scary thing to be a parent in general. It's a scary thing to think that when your beautiful son grows up and becomes a man, someone's not going to treat him the way that you treat him simply because of the color of his skin. It breaks my heart. It makes me full of rage. It makes me afraid. But all I can do is my job, protect them and enlighten them, show them their power, show them how to be safe. But the system is not fair. This whole film is about a system of unfairness. And why don't we make more movies about those who are disenfranchised and aren't born into the luxuries that some of us have been lucky enough by the roll of a dice to have been born?
Okay. So she's talking. Hold on. All right. So that was Sandra Bullock. She's talking. Whoa. Sorry, guys. I got a whole bunch of stuff going on here. So that was Sandra Bullock talking about her black son. Now let's unpack some of that. She was talking about, well, if you wear your hoodie, people are scared. You know, you're not going to be treated the same. And people are praising her. Let me say this. And I want black folks to understand this, because this scared narrative, take your hoodie off because it's scary to white people. I want black folks to drop this we're scary narrative. Please, black people, drop that. That's a false narrative created by the white supremacists. The white supremacists are not scared of black people like that. They have all the military backing in the world. These people are not scared. I want black folks to understand how dangerous that narrative is. See, when you run with the white people are so scared narrative, you know you victimize them. You put them in the victim mode. When we run with this narrative that the reason why white people practice this violent anti-black racism is because they're scared. So that puts them in a victim position. So now the onus is on you, the black person, to be less scary. Well, look, the cop had to shoot you because he was fearful of his life. He was afraid for his life. So it's, nigger, it's your fault for being so big, black, and scary. So nigger, if you were less scary, you wouldn't get shot in the back. We wouldn't have so much fear if you weren't so scary and black and niggerish. So you should be a little more feminine. This is what they're trying to say. Be a little more feminine. Put those booty shorts on and maybe I won't be so scared. You're scaring me with your big blackness. That's a cop-out. Family, stop playing into that narrative. Yeah, Zimmerman was scared of Trayvon. Yeah, he chased him and jumped the little boy, and the little boy fought for his life, and then this coward shot him, but he shot because he was scared. Wasn't scared. These race soldiers are not scared. That's the narrative they use to justify harming you, black people. They're not scared. That's the narrative they use. And you got to stop going for the narrative. And you better be in a position to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be scary for real. If you're going to be scared, I'm going to give you something to be scared of then. If we start adopting that, if you're scared, well, damn it, let me be scary for real. We got this thing where we keep trying to be non-threatening and you're getting shot in the back and they're telling you they're scared. Kyle Rittenhouse sitting up here on the stand doing all that fake ass crying about how scared he was. He wasn't scared. He didn't fear for his life. This man, after he killed those people, he was up there with the Proud Boys throwing up white supremacist hand signals. He wasn't scared, nor was he remorseful. All that fake ass crying. We better stop going for that narrative and stop letting white people push that narrative. Well, if you wear a hoodie, little black baby, you're going to be kind of scary. You don't want to be scary. So you better do something. No, no, no. How come Sandra Bullock ain't going to the white community saying, hey, y'all stop being racist. I got a black adopted kid out here that I won't save. How about you stop practicing white supremacy? She's using all of these code words. Well, there's people born into privilege and there's luxuries that certain people are born with. Stop it. Stop this. I don't want to hear code words, family. I'm so sick of code words. That's why my book, Foundational Black American Race Beta, I'm going for the jugular. Oh, family, I can't wait till y'all read this book. I'm going for the jugular. I'm just going all the way there. No code words. I'm just telling it like it is. We got to stop playing games out here. These white supremacists stay on code against us. The name of the game is just anti-black racism. That's the name of the game. Ain't about fear. It's all about them disenfranchising us. That's all it's about. There was a black man out there in Minnesota. He has a popcorn. He sells some kind of gourmet popcorn or something out there in Minnesota. So he was on the Stephen Colbert show. Stephen Colbert profiled him on the show, and after he was on the Colbert show, his business started booming. The business started really, really taking off. I mean, just people are just beating down his door to get that popcorn. And soon as that happens, soon as this brother's business starts really taking off, after getting boosts from Stephen Colbert, Redmond's Popcorn closes following visit by health inspectors. Hold on, let me play the video of them profiling his show. Hold on.
Show with Stephen Colbert last night.
Zachary Redmond of New Hope says that his product is like the luxury vehicle of popcorn, and now he has a commercial to prove it.
Redmond's Popcorn. Unparalleled design. Unrivaled comfort. And able to pop from 0 to 60.
Okay.
Line stretched out the door at the small shop in New Hope. Fresh off a debut on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
All roads lead to New Hope, Minnesota.
They aired a commercial playing off owner Zachary Redmond's comparison of his popcorn to a luxury car. Redmond saw the commercial for the first time last night. Despite his newfound fame, his roots are far more humble. He started selling popcorn out of his car during the pandemic.
I wasn't making really any money, so I was like, all right, let me just do something.
Okay. So as you see, the brother had a great idea and he got successful with it. And the minute he started getting successful with his business, here they go with the damn sabotage. They do this, family. I keep telling black folks, and I want black folks to understand this. When you see other people with businesses that are thriving, and then you don't see black businesses that are thriving, I don't want black people to get this inferiority complex to think that, well, damn it, how come we can't do it? You can do it. You don't. We get targeted, man, for every little damn thing. Other groups do not get targeted like this, man. Other groups do not get targeted like this. They don't target other groups like this, man. They done sat up here. The health inspectors came in. They're talking about, well, the lines are too long and you need a bigger kitchen space to pop the popcorn. And they do all. Now, let me tell you something. The Asian spot with dirt everywhere and mystery meat, and they going getting rat burgers and pigeon sandwiches. They sit up here in the neighborhood for 30 years. They ain't never cleaned the damn stove. They don't get shut down for nothing. They stay up in the hood selling you mystery meat and MSG and all of this stuff for 30 years and don't nobody say anything to them. No health inspections or nothing. They sit up here selling you greasy, nasty food forever and they don't ever get shut down. The brother comes up. Every time a black person gets something, there's always some inspection or somebody running up with a gun. The cops are coming in, just like with our brother Nipsey talking about where there's gang activity here. But this is the hood. There's gang activity in every business. How come you're not shutting them down? All this chaps my ass. But this is why, family, we have to really go out of our way to support each other and not let the white supremacists play these little games. This is why, family, we have to start campaigning for foundational black Americans to be a protected class. This is why we have to acknowledge our tribe as foundational black Americans. We can no longer play the kumbaya love everybody game. What's love got to do with it? We need power, tangible resources, man. We have to say, hey, we as foundational black Americans, we are a very distinct tribe that has been specifically marginalized. Not only do we need specific tangibles to rehabilitate how we've been wounded, we need to be a protected class so that we're not targeted by your health inspectors whenever we do try to get businesses popping. This happens way too much, and we have to acknowledge this and speak out against this, family. Dude, this brother pops popcorn, dude. He has a little popcorn machine and the health inspector came in. Just the fact that the health inspector came was some bullshit. Family, did y'all see a video recently of a Popeye's chicken franchise with rats running around and the brother exposed it and they fired the brother? This brother exposed rats running around Popeyes and then they ended up firing him. There were live rats running around the kitchen in a Popeyes chicken. But they want to shut this brother down for some damn popcorn. We got to start speaking out and stop being afraid and stop letting this be our lot in life where people can just dump on us and every time we try to build some, people just shit on it. We got to stop that. We got to speak as a codified group, family. I really want us to get on top of our game as far as that. How dirty, somebody in the chat room made it go, how dirty can a popcorn spot be, dude? Popcorn is some of the cleanest shit you can make. You have to clean pots and pans and buckets in order to make popcorn. Popcorn is really the cleanest snack you can make, man. It's the cleanest snack you can possibly make. What are the health inspectors coming in there for? Other than to harass another black business. The minute they see us successful, nigga. Oh, no, look what I see here. I see a smudge on the window. They come in there nitpicking. I swear, I talk to black businesses all the time. It's the Turkey Leg Hut all over again. Remember, they were doing the same thing with Turkey Leg Hut. They saw how successful they were. Well, y'all niggas got too much smoke. There's too much noise. All of these little ordinances just pop out of nowhere when it comes to black businesses. My God. But family, we got to be on top of our game out here, family. We got to be on top of our game. Oh, did y'all hear about the shooting out there in Michigan? In Michigan, there was another school shooting. I call it the Rittenhouse effect. There was a school shooting out there, 15-year-old white kid. And they knew he was going to shoot the school up. He was threatening for days and weeks, from what I understand. So this was a premeditated hit. Other kids start skipping school. They were like, hey, this dude is about to go capping. He was putting crazy stuff on social media. So they kind of knew this guy was going to flip. So this 15-year-old kid got a gun that his dad bought him. And notice, do y'all notice these white kids who do all these shooting sprees? Notice the parents never go to jail. The parents who buy the guns, because these 15-year-olds are not buying the guns. The parents are buying these kids' guns. And you notice the parents never go to jail. The parents never get charged for buying these kids' guns illegally. So he got a gun from his dad. His dad bought him a gun. So he went up to the school shooting people. I think he killed 4 people, wounded many, many others. This was in Michigan. What was the name of the city? Was it Oak Park, Michigan? Something like that. What was the name of the city? Oak Park. I want to say it was called Oak Park, Michigan. And boy, they had some pictures of him. Boy, they had some of his pictures. He's all looking innocent with his hands in a prayer position. Oh, they were trying to infanticize this guy. They were turning him to a big baby. But I saw something interesting. I noticed this town is basically 95% white, but the media, they've been going around interviewing the handful of black kids that go to the school. There has to be about 3 or 4 black kids. It can't be that many, but they've been interviewing a lot of the black kids that go to the school. I don't know if they're trying to put a black face onto this thing to make, I don't know what they're trying to do, but they've interviewed a lot of the black students, and they interview one black kid, one of the kids who goes to the school. He was a black kid, and boy, oh, let me show y'all this video, guys. Now, look. Let me show y'all the video, and look, let me play the devil's advocate. I understand it's traumatic. If you're in school, no matter who you are, your friends get killed. I can understand how traumatic that is. Let me say that. I can understand that's traumatic, okay? This is the kid right here. He's talking about his friends getting shot and killed at school, and this kid kind of breaks down, but boy, it was a little extra. Boy, I'm going to play this, man. Let me say it was a little extra. Some of the stuff this kid is saying, yeah, guys, a little cringe. It's a little cringe, guys. And it's a little cringe because he's saying some stuff. It's like, okay, I want y'all to catch some of the stuff this kid is saying, man. Hold on. Let me play this. Okay, let me brace myself. Hold on. Let me brace myself, guys. Hold on. Let me play this. Hold on.
The victims take Mir from his friend Devon.
He's probably the most best person I've probably met, besides my dad and besides God. Tate was always, he's smart in class.
After a meeting with his parents and school authorities earlier that same
day. Let me play that again.
We were with the Pittman family learning about one of the victims, Tate Mir, from his friend Devon.
He's probably the most best person I've probably met, besides my dad and besides God.
Okay. He said that's his white friend was the best person you could meet besides next to his dad and God. Okay. 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 I get that you're grieving because of your friend, but your best person next to God. Come on, man. Okay. My dad and God. Come on, bro. All right. I wish I could just chop that up to just grieving, but I don't know, man. That kind of threw me off a little bit. Yeah, I'm getting some non-FBA vibes here. I'm getting the mom looks like there's a little cake soap on that face, and that wig looks a little stiff. So I'm getting some non-FBA vibes here, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. That mom has a little, she looks like there's a little cake soap going on, and I don't know. I'm not saying this to disparage anybody, but I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. Let's play some more of this. Hold on. Let me play some more.
Probably me, besides my dad, and besides God. Tate was always, he's smart in class. Me and him used to joke around, me and him used to play.
And then, news, another classmate died.
Oh, Justin. I knew Justin. That was a good boy.
Javon described calling his dad during the shooting.
I was whispering because I didn't want the shooter to hear.
Okay. Okay. I get that you're distraught, but boy, okay. I get it, man. I get it, and I know people grieve differently, but boy, this is kind of extra. You don't see niggas cry like this for the dead homies in the hood. You don't see dudes do all that. Yeah. Okay. Okay, now let me play the rest now. Hold on. I don't know. I'm getting some non-FBA vibes here, but yeah, he's crying. That cry is a little bit extra. They're a little extra, and I get it. But hold on. Let me play the rest. Hold on.
Me and my classmates and my dad were just asking me what's going on, what's happening. And then I told him it's a shooting. Somebody's here shooting up the school. And then he told me, he said, okay, I'm on my way.
Why your dad? Is he your superhero?
Yes.
Lord.
You can't save your kids.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, the dad crying. Okay. All right. Shit. I get it. Okay, look, listen. I'll be the devil's advocate. I'll play the devil's advocate. Look, if your kid was at a school that got shot up and your kid made it out safe, I'll probably be a little emotional. So I'll play that angle. Listen, I might be emotional too if, you know, my kids survive something like that. So I'll play both sides. If y'all laugh, y'all going to hell. Did y'all laugh at the dad? Did y'all laugh? Y'all going to hell, y'all. Y'all asses is going to hell for laughing at that dad crying. You would cry too. But yeah, the son, he's crying a little too extra. Somebody said it reminded them of the Steven in Django where he was holding Calvin Candy. It was, yeah, you're crying over your white buddies a little. Yeah, you don't see dudes crying like that over the dead homies in the hood. Like, damn, the homie got shot, man. Damn, the homie got shot. But this dude, Justin, no. God, no. Okay. Yeah, like I said, fam, I'm getting some, them hairlines. And I'm getting some non-FBA vibes with them hairlines, man. And the mom, yeah. Look, the cake soap look and the stiff wig, yeah. Let me put the screenshot up one more time here. The look like a little cake soap and a stiff wig, yeah. I don't know. I think that house might smell like Joloff. I don't know. It might smell like curry goat. I don't know. But my condolences to them. You know, that's a kid. Kids grieve differently. Yeah, it was a little bit extra, guys. It was a little bit extra. Yeah, you know. It was a little bit extra. But hey, much respect to the families. You know, that's a tragedy. No, either way you cut it, that's a tragedy. But anyway, y'all, listen here. Y'all get my book, Foundation of Black American Race Beta. You can get it at officialfba.com. Or, ladies and gentlemen, you can go to amazon.com right now and get my brand new book, Official FBA, my book, Foundation of Black American Race Beta, the number one new selling book in African history. You can get that right now. Very good book. Very, very insightful book. You're going to love it. anyway, man, y'all have a great week. Thank y'all for all your blessings and well wishes for me and my queen. We're having our new baby, baby Quoquo Nisha. That's her nickname. We're still trying to come up with a name. We're having, me and my wife are having our first girl together. My wife is so very excited. Family, do y'all know my wife is out here buying baby clothes right now? The baby ain't due until damn June. My wife is out here buying baby clothes. Lord, we got a house full of girls. She's been just so eager to buy girl clothes. She's got girl clothes and shit. And I'm like, come on. You know, already we got time. We got lots of time until the baby is here. But anyway, y'all, we'd like to thank everybody. Y'all have a great week, and I will check in with you guys this Sunday. And peace, blessings, papiakute, lulavuve.